Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp. And before the Dollars and Cents show gets started here, I just wanted to remind you and let you know that I'm not doing this alone. The Dollars and Cents show is part of a radio network, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. It's a bunch of podcasters who are all homeschoolers podcasting about their lives and homeschooling. So I wanted to let you know to go over to Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and look at such great shows like Homeschooling Co-op Style or Homeschooling in Real Life with Fletch and Kendra. They're a lot of fun to listen to. The Homeschool Sanity Show. Don't you think that sounds like a fun one? We've got my friend Mary Jo Tate doing a program called Flourish at Home. And Helen Melanie Young are talking about making biblical family life practical. Israel Wayne's going to start a podcast here soon. We've got other shows like the Finish Well team, which talks to teenagers, and Dr. Woody Wilson, who talks about the Constitution. Oh, there's just almost too many to mention and more coming up. So if any of those sound interesting to you, go ahead and check out the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Everybody, this is Carol Topp, and welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is episode number 4. Today's topic is Unplug the Christmas Machine. This is based on a book that I read 20 years ago, long time ago, but that book changed the way I look at Christmas. Unplug the Christmas Machine is a book written by two authors, Joe Robinson and Gene Staheely. The subtitle is A Complete Guide to Putting Love and Joy Back into the Season. And you know, when I read this book 20 years ago, it changed the way I looked at Christmas. It changed the way I celebrated Christmas. And I was so influenced by it that I ended up teaching a Sunday school class to my peers, my adults at my church at that time, just about how we need to change the way our culture celebrates Christmas, because they're so materialistic, they're so frenetic and stressful and activity filled that it takes all the love and joy right out of the season. So I'm excited to share with you today some of the things covered in this book, Unplug the Christmas Machine, but we're going to particularly focus on the 4 things that children really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt. So this great book called Unplug the Christmas Machine, which you can still find for sale, maybe at your library, or I bought a copy used on Amazon. The authors talk about the fact that Christmas in its current form is really relatively new. That Christmas 150 years ago was celebrated very differently. It was celebrated by feasting and singing and playing games. The gifts, if there were any, were usually only toys for children, or sometimes what were called holiday notions, like a handkerchief. And if you think about things like Laura Ingalls writing about her recollections of Christmas, it's true. What few meager things she got for Christmas. Remember Little House on the Prairie? Laura got an orange and a candy cane and a tin cup, and she was thrilled. Or how about The Gift of the Magi by O. Henry. Remember, the adults exchanged gifts, but they were very small, like a watch fob and hair combs, very small tokens, nothing like we have today, where you're buying for a lot of people and spending a lot of money. But that is only very recently, that really not so long ago, all Christmas shopping fit into a stocking. And it was really only geared towards children. So I want you to realize that the commercialization of Christmas is relatively recently. So if you think that you want to change the way your family celebrates Christmas and you're afraid you're breaking some Christmas tradition, it's not true at all. These traditions are not hardly traditions at all. They're very, very recent. The book also pointed out that the pace of our Christmas season is very heavily front-loaded. I mean, I'm recording this on November 7th, And I turned on my radio last night when I was driving home, and I heard Christmas music playing. Didn't used to be you wouldn't hear Christmas music till December 1st. Now we're hearing it the whole month of November and the whole month of December. So this Christmas season gets pushed so much earlier every year, and then it comes to a screeching halt after you open gifts on Christmas morning. But that's not the way Christmas has been traditionally been celebrated. See, the 12 days of Christmas, they didn't even start until December 25th. And the idea was you had 12 days of Christmas where you celebrated with your family, you visited with people, you feasted, and you played games and things like that. Christmas is supposed to have at least three seasons to it. Advent, which of course is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas Day, Christmas itself, and then the 12 days after Christmas, which end with Epiphany, which is the time when the wise men came and traditionally it's celebrated when the wise men came and brought gifts to Jesus. Of course, we don't really know when that happened, but in the church calendar, it's celebrated on Epiphany after Christmas. So realize that the way the season is celebrated by most people today is very different from the way it's been in the past. And if you want to go back and unplug the Christmas machine and go back to something in the past, well, then you have got my permission and my encouragement to do so. That's what I did 20 years ago. Like I said, it helped tremendously change the way I celebrated Christmas. So what I do want to focus on today, though, because this is the Dollars and Cents show, is my topic, which is four things that children really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt and won't break your budget. They cover many of these things I'm going to talk about today in the book, Unplug the Christmas Machine, but some of them are my own addition or things I have seen other families and friends do over the years. So I'm going to give you some ideas of how you can change your Christmas traditions and Christmas habits to make it a season more full of joy and, of course, the meaning and focused on Christ and, of course, Jesus, baby Jesus. Okay, let's dive in. What children really want for Christmas? Well, believe it or not, it's not another toy. It's not an electronic gadget. Here's four things that they really want, and they're probably unable to tell you because it's such a basic need that they can't even voice it. Sometimes, and the authors of that book, Unplug the Christmas Machine, pointed out that children will end up asking for a long list of material things, of toys or something like that, because they don't know how to ask you what they really want. First things children really want for Christmas is time. Time with their parents, time with the family. Oh, by the way, if you're the kind of person that likes to take notes when you're listening to things, everything I'm going to say is in the show notes for the program. The show notes are over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for episode number 4. That's where you can find it. Okay. So I said, children want time. My pastor used to always say, this is how children spell love, T-I-M-E. And he's right that time with kids is what they read as love. And so you need to give them time. And I know that sounds crazy because as a homeschooling parent, most of you are, you're already giving them a lot of time. But particularly around Christmas, it needs to be a little different. It needs to be a little focused, a little more celebratory and things like that. So here's what I encourage you to do. And the authors of Unplug the Christmas Machine encourage this. Sit down and consider and maybe talk with your family about what you really enjoy about the Christmas season. Remember your childhood Christmas holidays. What traditions or activities or even occasions or something, what was particularly pleasurable to you when you were a child? Think about that, because then it will help you understand and build those kinds of activities, memories, or traditions with your own children. Also think about, maybe even discuss with your family, what brings you joy? What brings you peace during the Christmas season? It's probably time with your family and friends, time with your kids, maybe a little more relaxed pace. List those things. What traditions, activities, occasions, things that you enjoyed as a child and that bring you peace or joy now, and focus on those things during December. Hey, listen, if cooking baking does not bring you joy or peace, then you don't have to bake cookies. I stopped baking cookies a long time ago. Probably, like I said, 20 years ago. I think I did a few, like maybe one batch of cookies a year when my kids were growing up, but mostly I don't because my family doesn't need it and it doesn't bring me joy and peace baking cookies. So I stopped doing that. That was one thing I stopped doing basically 20 years ago, and I stopped feeling guilty about it because that's not what brings joy or peace to me. In addition, I encourage you to consider and encourage time-related activities instead of stuff giving. What I mean is, focus on activities where you're spending time with your children, like decorating the tree together. Maybe some of you do like baking, so go ahead and do that with the children. Maybe go see a Christmas play together or something like that. But emphasize this time with the family. We're going to do this stuff together. And here's one of the most important things that I learned by reading the book and I put into practice is have a plan for Christmas Day and the day after to ward off boredom. You know, my husband always wanted to make sure that one of the things the kids got, and as they got older, this is challenging, was something they can play with on Christmas Day. And my kids are now 20 and 22, so that's getting a little bit harder, but something that would help you get over sometimes the boredom that happens, believe it or not, on Christmas Day or the day after. You might make sure one of the gifts is something like a puzzle or a board game. I still do that. We still buy things that can encourage family time, like puzzles or plan some activity. And, you know, I know this gets harder because it seems like, again, everything for Christmas happens before Christmas and then there's nothing going on afterwards. But if possible, leave some activities until after the holidays, because again, my first point is, what do kids really want for Christmas? They want time. They want time with their family. They especially want time with you. The second thing that children really want for Christmas, which this book, Unplug the Christmas Machine, pointed out, was really, really kind of mind-boggling to me, was that they really want our reliable traditions. Again, if you think back to the things that you remember about about your childhood, it's going to be those traditions. Now, those traditions can be very little simple things. Like in my house, it's the same decorations going on the tree year after year. We buy ornaments from different places that we travel to or go on vacation. And it's a lot of fun to have this tradition of putting those ornaments on the tree and remembering the trips that we went on. That's a tradition. Doesn't have to be big or elaborate. For a couple of years, we visited a local nativity, like a live nativity. We don't do it every year, but we did for a couple of years. But one tradition we have in the top house is we must watch the movie A Christmas Story. I think we practically have the movie memorized, so I don't know why I need to watch it anymore, but that's a tradition that we have. Or maybe things like drinking hot chocolate or lighting the candles on an Advent wreath or even just doing a puzzle. It could be your tradition that on Christmas Day in the afternoon, if you're not visiting family, you get out a puzzle and do it. Something like that. Kids love reliable traditions, even if they're just very tiny traditions that don't cost you any money or don't even take a lot of time. But they love it because it gives them continuity, it gives them anchors, it gives them memories. That's really what they want for Christmas, not another toy, not more stuff. I also encourage you to consider asking your children to maybe donate a toy or a nearly new toy that they rarely play with to a homeless shelter, or maybe the Toys for Tots campaign, although I think they only want new toys now. And the reason is you're trying to break the hold that materialism and gifts have on the children. So make that one of your traditions. I knew a friend that did this. She basically would, in the time period before Christmas, gather her kids together and say, okay, it's time to, you're going to get some new toys, and you've kind of outgrown some of these you don't play with very often, so I each want you to pick a toy and we're going to donate it. And that was her way of stopping the accumulation of more stuff. I thought it was a great idea, and I followed that myself when my kids were younger. Now they're, again, being older, they aren't getting so many toys. The stuff they get, they keep for a long time. So let me take a little break, but finish up with the next two things that children really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt. But to summarize, we talked about kids really want time with their parents and their family, and they really want some reliable traditions. Don't have to be complex traditions or expensive ones, just very simple traditions to give them those memories and those anchors. So I'll be right back after this brief message.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Well, welcome back to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is Carol Topp, and we are talking about how to unplug the Christmas machine. I want to remind you again that the show notes for this program, so you don't have to write all this stuff down that I'm saying, are over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. This is episode number 4, so look for it there. Oh, and hey, and make sure that you share this with your friends and family. Pin it, share it, like it, Facebook it, whatever you want. I've got the handout, 4 things children really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt. I also have out there a plan for a debt-free Christmas. A couple of years ago, Felice Gerwitz, who runs this radio network, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, did a online convention, if you will, online homeschool convention during the holidays. And she asked me to be one of the speakers. And one of the things I talked about was how to have a debt-free Christmas. And I created a very short mini electronic book. And I'm offering that to you. It's only about 7 pages long, but it's about budgeting for the holiday, thinking through all the things that we spend money on and eliminating those that you don't want to do anymore. And so how to have a debt-free Christmas. So go on over to dollarsandcentsshow.com, episode number 4. Click on the show notes there, and you'll find the link to get my plan for a debt-free Christmas, as well as all the notes for what I'm sharing with you here today. Back to the 4 things that children really want for Christmas that won't put you in debt. Number 3, children want realistic expectations about gifts. Hear that? I didn't say gifts. I said they want realistic expectations about gifts, which means that you need to talk to your children, talk to your spouse, and maybe even talk to grandma and grandpa about what the realistic expectations are, what they can expect, and the real reason for the season. Okay. Maybe ask your children for ideas. How can we make Christmas more Christ-centered? All right. And they might surprise you. And you need to deal with the whole issue of Santa Claus when you're talking about realistic expectations about gifts, because unfortunately, Santa Claus and gifts are so closely tied in our culture today. But the way we dealt with Santa Claus was to say that he was a cartoon, a character, but he was built on a real person called St. Nicholas. And you can read a little about the history of St. Nicholas if you like to your kids. But basically, I would tell my children when they were young that St. Nicholas was a man who loved Jesus a lot. That's why he got the title Saint. And he also loved children. And he would give gifts to children. And so to continue that practice, we give gifts to children on Jesus's birthday. Now, some people like to have a birthday party for Jesus and put the emphasis for the season back on Christ, putting Christ back at Christmas, if you will, and less on the gift giving. But you've got to deal with the realistic, help your children have realistic expectations about the gifts. So, for example, one really helpful thing you might want to do is to teach your children to recognize advertising slogans and point out, watch the television toy ads with them, and point out that a lot of advertising slogans emphasize spending, they emphasize consumerism, they emphasize a false sense of perfection for the holidays. You've seen it, you've seen the gorgeous pictures, you've seen they have the perfect tree this year, you know, and it all is meant to entice you to spend money, so you need to point that out to your kids. You know, in the book Unplug the Christmas Machine, written by Joe Robinson and Gene Staheely, they tell this story about a boy who asked his mom for a certain toy because watching the ads on television had convinced him that this toy was going to be great. Guess what? his parents reminded him, you already have that toy and you didn't like it that much. So it's your job as parents to teach your children to watch those TV commercials or watch those ads, wherever they're seeing them. And now it's not just television. It might be the internet and all kinds of places, and point out to them when they have unrealistic expectations, either about the amount of gifts they're going to get or about what that toy or that gift can deliver. Because a lot of times it looks like they're delivering happiness, and we know toys don't deliver happiness. Memories, time with family, like we said earlier, the reliable traditions, that what produces joy and happiness at Christmas. Now, I had one friend when my kids were young and her kids were young who followed this tradition that you can think about. She told her boys, she had two boys, you know what? Jesus only received three gifts at Christmas. Jesus got gold, frankincense, and myrrh, if you remember, from the wise men. And so she thought that was a good practice, and she'd tell her sons, you're only going to get three gifts. And she'd tell them far in advance of Christmas, you know, you will get one gift that is a book, and one gift that is clothing, and one that's a toy. So the kids went into the season knowing what to expect, and that gave them some grounding, and that dealt with maybe lessened the disappointment they were going to have, because that's how they did it in their family. You could also consider buying only for children, not adults, going back to the way Christmas was traditionally celebrated, like I said. Maybe ask your extended family to exchange names instead of buying for everybody. We did that for several years. And then it got to the point where it seemed kind of ridiculous for me and my siblings to be buying gifts for each other when we were all adults and really didn't need to be buying gifts for each other. So then it went down to just the children. And basically now all the children aren't children anymore. And we live pretty far apart. So there is no real gift exchange anymore among my family. But for a little while, we were buying a whole family a gift as opposed to every child or every person in the family. So, for example, I think one year I put together like a movie night, tickets to a movie theater and popcorn, or maybe I bought a DVD and a popcorn, put it in a gift basket. You could give a family an event instead of stuff like tickets to their local zoo or to a play they might enjoy. And now with the internet, you can find out what kinds of events and activities are coming to anybody in any town. And there's gift cards that are easy to buy that way. So consider buying one gift for a whole family instead of individuals. One tip also I have is to, when we're talking about gift giving, is to buy your gifts in cash. And I include this when I talk about your plan for a debt-free Christmas, that studies have shown that we spend up to 20% more when we use plastic, meaning debit or credit cards, than when we use cash, believe it or not. So when you're ready to go out Christmas shopping, have a plan of how much you're going to spend, get it in cash, put it in an envelope, and spend only that amount. And you will probably spend less and you'll be more careful, because when you actually spend cash, it feels like you're spending it. When you put everything on the credit card or even a debit card, it doesn't feel as much like you've spent it. It actually registers pleasure in our brain when we buy with plastic, and we'd rather it measure a little bit painful, because it is, we're parting with our money. Here's one more tip about helping children have realistic expectations about gifts. Talk to your children about the proper behavior before you go into a store, especially if you're going into a toy store, or gosh, every store has toys this time of year, doesn't it? Talk to them about why you're going into the store, that you're shopping for groceries or necessities or for somebody else and not for toys, and be very clear about how you expect them to behave. No whining, no begging, no pleading, no putting things in the cart, no touching things, you know, and then have consequences for what that is. So maybe even put up a reward and then take that reward away. Like, you begged and pleaded and I told you not to, and so therefore you're not going to get the pack of gum I promised you at the end or whatever. Okay, but you've got to do that before you walk into the store. Because again, what children need are realistic expectations about their behavior and about what they can expect. Otherwise, it just gets blown out of proportion and everybody gets pretty stressed out. Okay, so we've talked about three things children really want for Christmas. that won't put you into debt. One is time with the family. They want reliable traditions. They want realistic expectations about what gifts they can receive. And finally, number four, they want an even pace to the holidays. Remember, I talked in the beginning of the podcast about the holiday season should have sort of three seasons, Advent, Christmas, and then the time after, the 12 days after Christmas leading up to Epiphany. And our culture just doesn't do it that way. We start Christmas like the day after Halloween, and then it all comes to a crashing halt. Children would rather have an even pace. So would we. So don't start Christmas too early. Someone on my Facebook, one of my Facebook friends said, her son asked if they could get the tree already. Now I'm recording this on November 7th. I think it was about Halloween. He was asking if they could have their Christmas tree. And since they do a live tree, they said, nope, it won't last till Christmas. So don't start Christmas too early. Wait until after Thanksgiving if you can. Wait until December if you can to start any activities. It's getting harder and harder and harder to do that. Put aside the countdown calendars. Put aside the letters to Santa. Put aside wish lists, especially if they promote greed or selfishness or overemphasize the gift-giving aspect of the holiday. Just, you can eliminate those. Your children will grow up just fine, okay? But don't make them write letters to Santa if you are trying to emphasize that this holiday is about Jesus and not about a fictitious person called Santa Claus. I have one more piece of advice. This came from the next piece of advice came from the Unplug the Christmas Machine book, which I think is getting more and more difficult to implement. But their suggestion was that you support stores that delay Christmas until after Thanksgiving. And 20 years ago, when I first read the book, it was more possible to do that. You could find stores that would wait until December 1st or after Thanksgiving to start their Christmas displays. Now it's just a losing battle and we have lost. Stores are now advertising that they're going to be open on Thanksgiving Day. That used to be sacred, you know, that you spent it with your family. Now they're going to be open. It's just starting the shopping frenzy earlier and earlier and earlier all the time. My oldest daughter had a friend from China come and stay with us, and this was early October for a brief weekend, and we had to go to Walmart for some reason. This woman from China was shocked to see that Christmas cards were already out. I was a little shocked too. Early October. So if you can, if you find a store that's delaying putting up their Christmas decorations, thank the manager. But to boycott them, whew. You're not going to be able to shop anywhere because they're all putting out their displays earlier and earlier. But you can certainly complain. Maybe if more of us complain, they'll delay it till at least November or Thanksgiving would be even better. I recommended this earlier, but I want to reiterate, since children really want an even pace to the holiday season, actually adults do, save some activities for post-Christmas. There always seems to be a letdown after post-Christmas. So save some activities. You know what? If you like baking cookies and you can't get it done before Christmas, you can do it after Christmas. There's that lovely week kind of between Christmas and New Year's when things are usually kind of quiet. Put some things to do during that week. Maybe baking cookies, maybe doing crafts, maybe making the gingerbread house that you always want to do. It doesn't have to be done before Christmas. Who said? Nobody. Play games, watch a movie, spend time with your family. Stretch that Christmas season into the period after Christmas. Okay? If your children receive an overabundance of toys, you know, from relatives or grandparents or something like that, hide some of them if you can and put them away and then bring them out in February or bring them even out in the summer. Like, oh, we're going to have Christmas in July. Did you even remember you got this Christmas gift? You might want to, you know, have them unwrap it and then maybe ask them which ones they want to put aside. They might forget about it. And then it's like a lot of fun come February when you pull it out again. I used to do that when my kids were little. We would recycle through toys. I got this idea from a friend. It's not original. But she had a big box, kind of like a toy box of sorts, and she would take some toys and she'd put them away for 6 months and then pull them out again. And it was a lot of fun. It was like the kids got a new toy. Okay, my final tip is to consider holding off giving some gifts until Epiphany, which is the 12th day after Christmas. Of course, that's, like I said, traditionally when the wise men showed up to give gifts for Jesus. So why not delay giving, maybe not all of them, because that's awfully hard to buck tradition that way, but consider giving, holding off and giving at least one gift on the date when Jesus got his gifts, Epiphany. It kind of stretches out the season, creates a little more even pace to the holidays. And maybe you even tell the kids, you haven't gotten all your gifts. One more is coming 12 days after Christmas. Gives them something later to look forward to, de-emphasizes all the gift giving at once, kind of spreads it out a little bit. So those are my suggestions from Unplug the Christmas Machine, that book by Joe Robinson and Jean Staheely. The four things kids really want for Christmas that won't put you into debt. They want time. They want reliable traditions. They want realistic expectations about gifts. And they want an even pace to the holiday season. Again, the show notes you can find for all these tips that I've given you over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. And I also have there my plan for a debt-free Christmas. It's a very short 7-page little mini ebook you can download. And I hope this has been helpful. What I'd like to do would be to invite you to put comments on the website, dollarsandcentsshow.com. Click on this show, which would be episode number 4, Unplug the Christmas Machine, and put your comments there about what ways you're trying to unplug the Christmas machine. And if you want to know more, go ahead and get the book, Unplug the Christmas Machine, find it at your library, or go buy a used copy. It's still available on Amazon and online bookstores. And, you know, talk about what you've done to unplug your Christmas machine and try to have a season that is filled with more love and peace and joy. Again, don't be afraid to buck traditions. I have 20 years ago. Like I said, I don't make Christmas cookies anymore. There are some things that I do continue to do because they bring me joy, but a lot of things I cut out because I want an even pace to my holiday. I want to have time with my family, and I want this season to be something filled with memories of joy and love. So I wish you the merriest, happiest Christmas and a happy new year, and look forward to my podcast continuing. The next episode will air on December 5th, 2013. And I'm going to be talking to, back on the topic of homeschooling, about starting a homeschool organization and the tips that I have to share with you if you've ever thought about starting a homeschool group, whether it be a support group or a co-op. That'll be next time on the Dollars and Cents Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.